It has been an unprecedented year. Crazy. With all the
stuff?
Yeah.
It's unprecedented how many times we've actually heard the word unprecedented.
Our dream vacation was canceled.
You got to keep the job you don't like.
You know they can see you?
But let me tell you all the no's, friends. No going to restaurants, no movie theaters, no movie theater popcorn, no state parks, no going to athletic events, no church services, and no...
Don't say it. Don't.
Hey, kids! You've got to be more careful with the toilet paper! This is all we have!
All the drive-by birthday parties, graduations, baby showers.
I will say this, I felt a little awkward throwing out that baby shower gift in the front yard.
You weren't supposed to do that.
It just feels like a wasted year. I said it.
There's just all the time at home. Boom!
And all the time that we were made to spend together. Hey, honey? Honey!
Leave me alone!
All the heart-to-hearts. Goodness.
Speaking of hearts, our son, Jason, right over there, said yes to Jesus. Right at that kitchen table.
July 17th, 2020.
You know, I guess it's not really wasted time because God didn't waste a moment of it.
I think I have the answer to what I'm thankful for.
Yeah? What is it?
Everything.
We want to thank each and every one of you for being here today, whether in person or online. We want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. As the video said, it's an unprecedented Thanksgiving, but I hope you're going to capture this week in maybe some different kind of unique ways. But take time to pause. As we often say here, it's not Thanksgiving, it's Thanksliving. And we want to encourage you to take this week and spend some time with your family and just think about what our friends reminded us of, that even the strange things this year, we can be thankful for those. And in that spirit, we're going to continue on with our series today from Philippians. We're moving into the fourth chapter today. The title of our series is Living a Lifestyle of Joy. So that's going to fit right in with Thanksgiving, because you could easily replace the word joy with Thanksgiving, couldn't you? Yeah, living a lifestyle of Thanksgiving. And so we just want to continue on in that spirit today. We believe that Paul's got some very important things to say to us, because I don't know if you know it or not, but there's forces out there that want to steal your joy. They don't want you to be thankful. And in your insert today, or if you're at home, you can take a piece of paper and just make four little spaces to write out what we're going to call the four joy thieves. And we're going to talk today about how to guard ourselves against these thieves that are out, I believe, to steal your joy. But I believe we have some defenses today that Paul's going to give us that will help us be able to keep our joy. And we're going to pick up where we left off just last week. And we're going to pick up in chapter 4, verse 1. This is actually where we left off last week. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you who I love and long for. Is this interesting? He calls them my joy and crown. Stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. How do you know part of our Thanksgiving and part of our joy has to do with all of us? In fact, if we didn't have people in our lives, it wouldn't be very joyful, would it? Actually, God has put people in our lives, I believe, to create just a spirit of joy and thanksgiving. But there are thieves out there that want to steal that from us. Let's keep reading here. Verses 2 and 3, he says, now I appeal to Euodia and to Syntyche. Syntaki. I don't know if I'm saying that right. When we get to heaven, we'll ask them. I'm just glad we use the words Joe and Connie and things like that. But here are these two women. Who were they? Well, if you go back in Acts, remember when Paul planted this church in Philippi, there was not a Jewish synagogue or temple because you needed 10 men to be able to have a temple. And so there must not even have been 10 men. And so he goes down by the riverbank, and who does he meet there? He meets some women, right? And they pray there. It's possible these two women were present. You hear of founding fathers, maybe these were our founding mothers for this church. Who knows? But they were important ladies in the church. But something unusual is happening here. And he says, please, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. Uh-oh, you mean they had some disagreements in the church? Possibly so, right? I mean, remember, this letter was read publicly. If you were these two women, would you be excited about that? You know, we're going to read a letter from Paul, and he names you by name. This must have been important. For him to name these ladies, this was something very important on Paul's heart. He says, listen, you need to settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, we don't know who this is, but somebody in the church, help these two women. Help them. He's appealing to the church. Evidently, this conflict's well known. Is that right? It's not something in secret. Everybody's aware of it. Maybe they've taken sides. I don't know what's happened here. But Paul says, we got to settle this thing. And he's calling on the church to help. For they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. Who are these women? They're part of the body of Christ. They're faithful believers. Is it possible to have disagreements, even as people of faith? Yeah. He said, they worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. Well, here's our first one. Here's our first thief we got to guard against. Unresolved conflict. All right, write that down in your notes today. Unresolved conflict. Is there anyone here this morning or anybody at home who's never, ever had conflict with people? Maybe it's in your family. You know, they say holiday times are when a lot of that stuff comes to the surface, right? The conflicts, the disagreements, that could be a lot of things. That could be political. That could be religious discussions, whatever it is. We could have conflict, right? Well, here the Apostle Paul is saying to the church, because this is the letter of joy. He's wanting to keep their joy. And he's saying, listen, be careful. We need to resolve these conflicts because you are my joy. I want you to look with me at these three scriptures I have listed on the screen. They're very important. Ephesians 4, 2 and 6. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Would that be good counsel for these two women? Yeah, it's good counsel for all of us, isn't it? Make allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Anybody here had to do that recently? You ever make an allowance for someone? Yeah, because of your love, right? Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. You know, we go through a lot of effort today to stay safe and healthy. Is that right? I've seen people do extreme things. I mean, wow. They're passionate about it. Could you be equally as passionate about keeping the spirit of unity in the body of Christ? To go to any length to do it. That's what Paul's saying to the Ephesians. For there is one body, one spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through you all. What's he appealing to? He's appealing for unity. As we've often said, this is not just any kind of unity. This is not unity in sameness. This is unity in diversity. Is it okay to have different thoughts on some things in the body of Christ? Probably, yeah. In the first century, remember, people came from all walks of life. I'm sure they didn't look at life the same way. But when they came to Christ, they came into the body of Christ and they became one together. And that's why this is a big deal to Paul. He's saying, listen, you got to resolve these conflicts. Why? Because they'll steal your joy. I'm telling you, people who are in conflict, you look at them. Think of your own life. Those are times when it's hard to hang on to that delight in God that is not affected by pain or pleasure. If we read on down to verse 25 and 26 of that same letter, just down into the chapter, he says this, "For we are all parts of the same body," and he says, he reminds, "Don't sin. Don't sin by letting your anger control you." You think these two ladies might have been angry at each other? He said, "Don't let your anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry." That's the spirit that Paul's operating in here in this letter, isn't it? Isn't that what he's saying? Hey, listen, we got to deal with this. In fact, I think he would say, "Don't let this go another day, because there's a lot at stake. Because you are my joy, and I want you to keep your joy." And so I'm appealing to you today. Let's bring this to our current day. If you have conflict in your life, unresolved conflict, I believe that God wants you to deal with it. Why? So you can keep your joy. 1 Peter 3:8-9. "Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted. Keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil." I've never done that, have you? "Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you." Boy, we need to hear that today. We all put that on Facebook. Put that on Facebook, right? There you go. Don't somebody insult you? You don't need to insult them back. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. Now that's good counsel, isn't it? Pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessing. I want you to know this is not just something you're going to do by yourself. Paul made it clear to the church. I want you all to participate in this. We are not wall builders. We are bridge builders in the body of Christ. And sometimes it takes a lot of people to build a bridge. I believe this. If you are in a situation between two believers, and two believers are in conflict with one another, and you're in the middle of it in the sense that they both think you're their friend. In fact, they probably think you're on their side. Would that be true? I've been in that situation. Both sides think I'm on their side. God just made you a bridge builder. God wants you to help resolve that conflict as much as it depends on you. What's at stake? I believe joy is at stake. I believe joy is important because it's our strength. And if we lose joy, these thieves know that, hey, if they lose joy, they're going to lose their strength. Well, let's move on to verses 4 and 5. You ready? "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again. Rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon." That's a fascinating verse to me. And depending on your translation, here in the New Living Translation, there's a Greek word that they're translating, "be considerate." When you hear that, what do you think of? You know, we need to be considerate of one another. Actually, the word's much bigger than that. I began to look at it and look at all the different possibilities. In fact, the different translations, if you have a New King James, what's it going to say? It's going to say you need to be gentle, gentleness. If you have a King James Version, it's going to say moderation. That's an interesting word. It can also be translated patience, yieldingness, unwillingness to litigate or contend. Dr. McKnight said this about this word. He said this word means meekness under provocation, readiness to forgive injuries, equity in the management of business, candor in judging of the characters and actions of others. I like this one. Sweetness of disposition. And the entire government of the passions. Wow. Now I think I'm looking at this word a little bit different. Now I want you to be mindful as we move through this. And I never looked at this scripture this way before. This is about these women. Don't separate that. This is a flow in these scripts. He's dealing with this unresolved conflict. And he said one of the things is we need to be sure that the spirit of consideration. And in fact, when I read that list and I read Dr. McKnight's words, I thought of I thought that this is an opportunity for us. If we're going to resist this thief, we have to be careful that we're not preoccupied with ourselves. He's asking for selflessness. I believe these ladies had a problem with selfishness. It probably was at the root of the conflict. What do you think? And so it is a warning to us that we be careful, because there's a thief out there that wants you to get so absorbed in yourself that you don't think about anybody else. And that could be what was happening with these women. It made me think of these two verses on the screen. Amazing scriptures. James 3:17. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It also is peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Man, when I read that, I thought, that's this word, isn't it? So we could really say, you need to walk in the wisdom from heaven in your relationship. He's talking about relationships with other people. This needs to be the spirit that we walk in. Do we need this right now in a time of a pandemic? Do you need to walk in this spirit? Yeah, because otherwise this time's going to take your joy. I see it. I see people losing their joy. And it's oftentimes because it creates these conflicts with others. But we need to be peace-loving and gentle at all times, willing to yield. This was the spirit of Christ. It's supposed to be ours. Look at this other scripture, Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. We looked at this many weeks ago. This is a foundational scripture, isn't it? Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others also. See, this is our defense against this thief that wants to take your joy, and he wants you to get all preoccupied in yourself. And that's easy to do in this time we're living in. We just get so focused on ourselves that we're not able to focus on others as well. So I want to encourage you, watch out for this thief. He's coming and he wants your joy. Well, let's move on to verses 6 and 7. This is the biggest, baddest, and most successful thief of all right here. It's the scripture we all know, but very seldom do we read it thinking about these two women, do we? We often just think of it independent, but I think it applies in what they were dealing with. He says, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Wow. You see it? See, this is it. This is the one, of all these we're talking about, this is the one everybody's going to circle on your page today. Yeah, this is an issue. What is this thief? It is worry and anxiety. Worry and anxiety. This, above all else, will steal your joy. And all of us have to deal with it. Now, there is stress and anxiety in life that just comes naturally, right? In fact, your body's made to respond. Like if you're standing on the edge, I remember we went to the Grand Canyon for a family reunion a couple years ago, and I'd never been there. And there's a little guardrail, and I stood on the edge of it, and I looked down, and my body started telling me, be careful, Joe. Be careful, because that's a good thing. And there was a little concern there, a little stress, a little anxiety. That's good. But we're talking about the kind of worry and anxiety that will steal your joy. Here's some scriptures. Think about these. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18. And Kenny shared this at our elders meeting this week. And we talked about the spirit of thanksgiving and how important it is, which is really the spirit of joy. In fact, we talked about, well, does joy come before Thanksgiving or does Thanksgiving come before joy? We kind of decided you can't have one without the other. You just can't. And so this scripture is important. In 1 Thessalonians, you know this scripture well, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. Who's going to trip over that? I mean, I got some circumstances that's easy to be joyful in, but some others not so much. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. This week we got to experience this in our home because we have an old furnace. And it's a unique furnace. It's different. It's horizontal, and it's down in a, and it's been there for 40 years. And so every year we call to have it inspected, you know, for the winter. And we weren't expecting, when he got done inspecting, he said, I disconnected your gas line and I red tagged your furnace. It's going to need to be replaced. We just started rejoicing, didn't we, honey? Because I had gotten a bid on that once before, and it's high dollar. And I thought, oh, but you know what? At first we felt it didn't. How many of you know it's okay sometimes not to be good at this? Just make your recovery time a little better. Is that right? You get better at it? It didn't take us long. It says, you know, he said, you know, your carbon monoxide is at 1,500. It should be at 100. So we said, well, thank you, Lord, that we thought to have this inspection done, because that's not a good thing. You don't want carbon monoxide in your house. So we started finding reasons to be thankful. And so we're not done with this project yet. Check in with us. But let me tell you, we're just grateful. We're grateful that we had two fireplaces put in our house a few years ago that are independent from that, and they keep us warm. We're grateful that we don't have to have it real warm. If you come to our house, my neighbors, Fred and Linda, they wear coats when they come to our house. They said it's cold there, you know. We wear shorts when we go to their house. You know? So we're grateful that we're kind of cold-blooded. You know, it helps us out a lot. But it, you know, when things like that happen to you, is it possible to really do this scripture and just to be thankful in all circumstances? How many remember the sermon from 2 weeks ago, Captain Rupp from the McConnell Air Force Base? Remember his story about fly low and fly fast? Remember that story and how that plane flew over the enemy's position and created a sonic boom, boom, and it said, cause the enemy to retreat. You know what I believe? I believe when you do this scripture, you're flying low and you're flying fast. When you do this scripture, you create a sonic boom that will silence the enemy. When he's trying to steal your joy, he will run. That's like when the burglar's trying to get in the house and all the lights come on, what's he going to do? He's running for the hills. That's what's going to happen. Colossians 2:7. Kenny shared this with us. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught. Here it is. And you will overflow with thankfulness. Anybody here, your cup's a little dry? Overflowing's the last thing you're thinking about right now. See, I'd just be happy to have a fourth a cup. Well, God's will for you is you be overflowing with thanks. What would that mean? That means it'd be so easy to be thankful, even in difficult times, like the scripture we read during worship. It would be, it'd just be an automatic thing just to be thankful in a situation when everybody else is looking around going, I don't know what you got to be thankful for. Can't help it. I'm overflowing with thanksgiving. I just can't help it. It just overflows out of my cup. Remember, the cup is your capacity. The overflow is God's. Joshua 1:9. God gives a commandment to Joshua. He's getting ready to take charge. He says, be strong and courageous, Joshua. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We've talked about this before. It's important to understand the difference. There's nothing wrong with being concerned. You can be concerned about your financial provisions. We could be in our, you know, are we going to have enough money to take care of this? It's okay to be concerned. It's okay to be concerned about the virus. It's okay. But God does not want you to worry. And that's what Paul was saying. Don't worry. What's the difference between concern and worry? One word. Fear. Fear. You don't have to be afraid to be concerned, but usually you have to be afraid to worry. And God's not wanting us to worry, and he's not wanting us to be afraid. All throughout Scripture, be not afraid, be not afraid, be not afraid. Because why? Because fear will steal your joy. It'll take your joy, and the enemy knows. Remember, he's a thief. He's come to what? Jesus said he's come to kill, destroy. Oh, here it is. He's come to steal. What does he want? He wants your joy. He wants your joy. So be strong and courageous. We need to take that same commandment to ourselves and not be afraid and not be discouraged, especially in times like this. Okay to be concerned, but don't let it turn into worry and don't let it turn into fear, because fear will paralyze you and it will take your joy away. Well, let's go to the last couple verses. Are you ready? Verses 8 and 9. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Can I pause here? If you're watching the news every day, you're going to find it hard to do this, because what you're hearing is not this. See, you're different. You live in the kingdom, and you're being called to these things. What are you thinking about a lot lately? What's on your mind? That'll tell you a lot. He says, think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. When you watch some bad news, and you're going to hear it. I watch a little news every day. I just don't stare at it, and I don't meditate on it. I say, okay, I try to, when I hear it, then I counter it with this. Otherwise, it's going to, I made the mistake the other night. Connie knows, and I happened to watch something before I went to bed, and it just messed up my night. Because I started thinking about it. I got upset about it. I got irritated about it. And then I couldn't rest. Boy, the enemy just loved it. So I told Connie, we're not doing that anymore. If anything, let's pray. Let's put on some worship music. Why? Because it's going to center our thoughts. He says, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Even everything, he says, you heard from me and see me doing and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Are you ready for the last one? This is important. Well, this thief will get you. Dwelling on the negative. Dwelling on the negative. How many of you, just wink at me, how many of you have a tendency to gravitate to the negative? Doesn't matter what you're talking about. You're just automatically going to gravitate to the negative. I believe that that'll steal your joy quicker than anything. And I think Paul's trying to tell the folks, listen, remember, he's still talking about these women. I've just never read it that way before, but now I see it. He's telling them, ladies, you need to think on things that are positive. You're dwelling on these disagreements and these issues. And you need to think about other things. You need to dwell on other things. You need to dwell on things that are worthy of praise. What is it you're thinking a lot about? Take those negative things. Set those aside. And I'm not talking about denial. I'm not saying, you know, I think I can. No, I'm thinking, okay, this is reality. I'll tell you, Paul demonstrated for us in Corinthians. It's not on the screen. Remember when he said, I am hard pressed on every side. Well, that's negative thinking, Paul. But I am not crushed. You see where he landed? He said, I am perplexed. Anybody here perplexed today? Don't stay there. He said, but I'm not in despair. He said, I am persecuted, hunted, but I'm not alone. I am knocked down, he said, but I am not destroyed. You see it? See, you can dwell on the negative. He could have chopped off all the rest of the hat and just dwelt. Well, I'm hard pressed. I'm confused. I don't understand what's going on. I'm persecuted. Everybody's against me, it seems like, anyway. And I'm knocked down flat on my back. Life really is bad. If you didn't add to it that faith side, that would leave you in a bad place, and it would be hard to be full of joy, wouldn't it? Well, my life scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, my wife and I, we have clung to that all our lives. And Solomon's saying, hey, we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart, right? Don't lean on your own understanding. Paul could have done that. All these things were true. He wasn't saying those things weren't true, but he said, but this is my faith response. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, declare his place of sovereignty. Begin to praise him and worship him. Wow. Seek, he said, if you'll do that and acknowledge him, why, he's going to direct your steps. He's going to crown your efforts with success. Amen? Do you need that today? Well, if you're dwelling on the negative, you'll miss it. You'll miss it. Isaiah 26:3, the prophet says, God will keep him in perfect peace. Who's what? Whose mind, whose thoughts are stayed, are fixed on him. You see it? That's how we walk in this joy. And that's what Paul's trying to get these women to do. Remember, he says, because you're in the Lord, because you're in the Lord, you need to resolve this conflict. You need to settle this disagreement. You might not come to agreement, but you can come into unity of love and your oneness in Christ. Amen? You see it? In 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, the writer declares that we have weapons, but they're not carnal. They're not of this world. But on the contrary, they are powerful and divine, and their purpose is to tear down strongholds. You know, one of the strongholds we need to tear down today is this negativity, this negative thought. You know the people I'm talking about, the first thing out of their mouth is something negative. Or they're looking at something, first thing they're going to do is criticize. Listen, that's a stronghold. And I believe we have weapons that can tear that stronghold down. And says, in fact, he goes on, he said, we will demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. That's what I always say when somebody confesses something negative to me. I go, well, what's the Word of God say? Yeah, I know that's true. I'm not denying it. But what's the faith side of it? See, he says, and we are going to take captive every thought for Christ. I want you to know that's where the battle is today. It's in our thinking. It's in our thoughts. We said a couple weeks ago, remember when in Galatians 5 it says the flesh always wars against the spirit. Spirit always wars against the flesh. They're contrary to one another. So when there's a meeting, they're always going to vote against each other. Who's going to break the tie? Who's going to break the tie? Somebody's got to cast a vote that will decide. It is your mind. You will break that tie. We know who you're going to side with. You're going to side with the flesh or the spirit. It's easy today to side with the flesh and fear, but I'll tell you, God's wanting you to stand in a different place. You notice on the screen I put, yeah, but. So what's that got to do with anything? Remember what he told them at the very end? He wanted them to be obedient to everything he had told them. The problem we have in a time like this is we go, yeah, but. You look at the scripture and you go, yeah, yeah, but. Scripture says, love my enemies. Yeah, yeah, but. Be thankful in everything. Well, yeah, but. What are the things we know that God wants us to do? And he's calling this church to obedience to the things he had already told them and what they'd saw him do. And he said, I want you to obey all these things. Well, yeah, Paul, but. And Paul could have done the yeah, buts. He's under house arrest for 2 years. He could have begun to question all this. Instead, he's doubling down, isn't he? He's growing in joy, even when everything around him would suggest otherwise. So we got to get rid of the yeah buts. We need to just say yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes and amen. Lord, I know this is what's happening. But Lord, I know what you've promised. And I'm going to keep my joy no matter what. That delight in God that is not affected by pain or by pleasure, nothing can take it away from me. I'm going to hold on tight to it, even though the enemy, and it's his job, don't act surprised. It's his job. Jesus said, hey, the enemy's come to kill, destroy, and steal, but I have come, what? That you might have life. Abundant. All right? So he was saying, these two things are true. Don't be surprised. And they will collide with one another from time to time, especially in a time like we're living right now. And it won't be the last. It's not the first, even though it feels like it. It's not. And it won't be the last. The enemy will always do his job. That's what he does. Don't be surprised. But God is going to do his part as well. And he's wanting you to tap into his joy. He said, my joy I give to you. It's my joy. And I'm going to give it to you and nobody can take it away from you. Amen? So watch out for these thieves. I want you to look at your list today. As we often do, I want you to look at, circle one of those. Is it unresolved conflict? Is that what's taking your joy? Do you have disagreements going on, orbiting around your life right now? Whether it be in church or family, are those things coming after your joy? Is that your experience? How many of you, maybe you're a little preoccupied with yourself and your own situation. You know, woe is me. I've got all these things happening. And that, of course, would lead us, wouldn't it, to worry and anxiety. Anybody circled that one? That's probably the number one, right? Especially right now. Worry, anxiety, fear. Those are things that will take your joy. It's from the enemy. That's what I want you to know. You have an enemy, and he's come to steal from you these things. And lastly, that negativity, dwelling on negative thoughts, dwelling on all the negative around, and it's real, it's not that it's not real, it's not make-believe, but you can't dwell there. We need to meditate on the things that are worthy of praise, and that is right here, God's promises. I don't care what's happening around us. What is your part? Your part is to pray and to stand and to believe and hang on to that joy, because you're going to need it. That joy is your strength. It's going to get you through tough times, and it's going to draw people to you, and you're going to have awesome opportunities to be able to share the wonderful good news, the gospel message. And that's what Paul said. All these things have worked out for the furtherance of the gospel. And so we're going to come to the table this morning that's been prepared for us and take of the cup and bread. And we invite those at home to grab some bread, some juice if you have it, and just join in with us. Because as we come to this table this morning, this is the table of joy. And if you've lost your joy, I believe this morning God wants you to get it back again. And he wants you to arrest those thieves. Turn on the light. Don't let them have their place anymore. Don't let them take from you what God has given to you. And come to this table with this spirit that Peter spoke of in 1 Peter 1, 8 and 9. He said, we greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Now that's the kind of joy we're looking for, right? What's he say? Obtaining as the outcome of our faith the salvation of our souls. That is the foundation of your joy today. Amen? So we're going to come to this table. I want you to prepare your heart right now. Take your paper, that look at those four things. Before you come and take the cup and bread, just commit those things. Say, Lord, I'm coming against these things. My weapons are not carnal. They're mighty in God. Some of these may be strongholds in your life, and I believe God's going to give you the weapons to take them out and get back the joy that you once had. Amen? And if you still got your joy, I believe God's going to increase it. He's going to overflow that joy, exceeding, inexpressible joy. Are you ready to receive that today? Father, as we come to this table, I pray you'd prepare our hearts. Lord, we love you. And I know you love us. That's evident because of this table. It shouts your love at us. You love us and you made provision for us. And so today we greatly rejoice. We greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory because of our very salvation that we celebrate today. And it's out of from that place that we come against the enemies of joy. And we ask today, oh Father, for all those who've gathered and all those who are listening from other places, that they could just pause right now, and that, Lord, you could restore to them the joy of their salvation. Because that's where it all begins. And from there, we can stand and move forward. We can fly low and we can fly fast. And the enemy will be pushed back in our lives. And this will be a great day to declare your glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for this bread and this cup and what it represents to us today. And we come in that spirit of joy. We have no reason not to rejoice today. If you knew it, never do another thing for us, you've already done enough for us to praise you for all eternity. And so, Lord, we just come to this place and we say thank you. And out of this position, out of this place, we live our lives in gratitude. Father, I pray that you just kick our game up a notch and that we would live in such a way that as Paul seemed to suggest to this church, that others would see and they would know there's something different about us. Lord, we are in awe of the fact that you came and died for our sins. Lord, we did nothing to deserve it. It is by your grace and mercy. And Lord, that's enough today just to praise you for all time. And so would you just help us to dwell on those things that are worthy of praise today? Would you remove all that negativity? Lord, would you help us to focus, just to focus on you? Hallelujah. And that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry, but we can trust you in all things. And so that's what we're going to do this morning, especially during this week. We are grateful. We're grateful. We're grateful for all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Right now, just where you sit, just offer up thanksgiving to the Lord. Just begin to thank him. Maybe take the most difficult situation you're dealing with right now and worship God with it. Father, I pray for an anointing of that joy that's almost inexpressible, that's beyond understanding, that will guard our hearts and minds. Father, I pray we can leave with that intact in our lives and that it would increase and overflow for the benefit of others around us. Help us, Father, to stand in the place you've called us to stand no matter what's happening around us. We are your church. You are calling us to this place for such a time as this. For such a time as this, Lord, we stand in faith in this place in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Father, I pray over this congregation as we leave this place. I pray that they can be lights in darkness. I pray, Lord, that you can use us to declare truth where sometimes there's great confusion. I pray, Father, we would as a church would not be duped into being distracted by things, Lord, that would want us to get off mission. Well, we can't do that. Paul didn't do that. That's what he was demonstrating for us. He could have laid down, but instead he stood up. He took advantage of the situation, and it was for the furtherance of the gospel. I pray that be true in all our lives. Father, I pray for safety over our congregation. Health-wise, Lord, I pray those who are dealing with this virus, Lord, I pray that you would bring healing into their bodies and minister to them by your grace. We respond with faith, Lord, and we thank you for the opportunity. Let it be a testimony in the making of what you're doing in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Go in God's love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen.